Do you have a spare thought for poor old Jonah, tossed overboard by his fellow mariners as responsible for a nasty spate of weather? The biblical account advises that Jonah's famous storm arose because he'd sidestepped some onerous commission laid on him by the Almighty. Now, it's not for us to question the word, but speaking for myself, I've known a few Jonahs, and most of them weren't on the run from divine retribution. They were just accident-prone guys who seemed to spread their own ill luck over the ship at large. Take Odd Job, for example, a shipmate of mine who got his name from sailing in a hat like a hard-brimmed bowler. Somewhat akin to that fellow in the James Bond movies, you might say. Oddjob and I were delivering a 50-foot motor fishing vessel to the French Riviera. My usual team couldn't make it, and Oddjob turned up from a crewing agency with his mate Jack. The first night out, one of the two engines overheated and blew up during Oddjob's watch after he mistook the warning whistle for the kettle boiling. Hard luck, you might say, and at the time I did. We limped into Guernsey, had the diesel rebuilt, then pressed on. Oddjob delivered his next catastrophe in Lisbon. After topping off his requirements in a dockside bar toward midnight, he stepped over the sea defence wall to pump ship, slipped on the slimy boulders and slithered into the dark water. "That's it, lads," he called, flapping his arms feebly as a ripping ebb carried him seawards along the stonework. There seemed little to be gained from jumping in after him, so Jack legged it back for his ship to the heaving line. Oddjob clung precariously to a strand of seaweed. We hauled him out, rubbed him down, and he swore to lay off the booze in future. But they all say that, don't they? I'd almost forgotten Oddjob's tendencies when we ran into a full-blown mistral on the last lap of the trip. We were taking big seas on the beam, and it should have been no surprise when an awkward breaker arrived halfway through Oddjob's afternoon watch. It threw us down unceremoniously into the trough, leaving Jack and I buried beneath a pile of debris under the lee deckhead. "I wonder what happened to Oddjob," mused Jack, as the ship righted herself and we scrabbled back to the cabin sole. The wheelhouse proved empty of bodies, and Oddjob's yellow oilskin had gone from its peg. It appeared he'd left us. Hoping he'd wandered on deck for a smoke, we pushed open the door, but there was no sign of him out in the storm. Jack throttled back, while I peered frantically across the grey waste of the ocean for any trace of our shipmate. I was asking myself whether perhaps the gale would now mysteriously subside when I heard a feeble voice calling my name. It was him all right, but it seemed to come from the heavens. For a second I feared he was already an angel until I glanced up and saw his round hat silhouetted against the sky above the wheelhouse. "I'm up here, boys!" Oddjob had been washed clean overboard as the boat was knocked down. He'd spent a few seconds thrashing around, considering his immortal soul, until, like Jonah before him, the ocean spat him out. While the boat was still on her side, and lacking the convenience of a passing whale, a second sea had tossed him against the lid of the house. He'd embraced the radar scanner for a free ride while she righted, and had remained there, dazed, while we presumed him dead and gone. Jack set the autopilot to head slowly into the waves, while we dried out the swimmer for the second time. When he returned to the helm, we were impressed by the change in motion. Gone were the violent lurches of a small craft in a dangerous beam sea. Instead, she remained upright, rolling gently and nodding as she stored up the steep faces of the swells, breasted the peaks, and nudged down their windward sides. We hoisted a reef mizzen, sheeted it board flat to steadier, and steered just far enough off the wind to fill it for most of the time. We made virtually no headway, we found, but maintained enough steerage to keep her bow up to the crests. We steered manually to dodge any breakers until conditions took a turn for the better. A week later, I was safe in Saint-Tropez with the hands paid off. I've often speculated what became of Oddjob, but there was no doubt that once he stepped ashore, the drama factor tangibly diminished. The technique Jack and I stumbled across is known by fishermen as dodging. Until recently it has not been considered a yacht survival option, but things have changed. In heavy airs and big seas, a roller reefing Genoa is useless. The nature of many modern yachts means they must never be allowed to lie beam on to seas steep enough to break, yet unlike their predecessors, they can't shoulder them by heaving to. Running before the storm is fine, but alert crew and sea room are a prerequisite. Neither may be available. The para-anchor's a sound proposition, but many boats don't carry one. What most of today's cruisers do have is a powerful, reliable engine. Using this at moderate revs, backed up by a rag of flattened mainsail to head up into an ugly sea, has become a practical survival option. Dodging makes sense for the ordinary cruiser caught without specialised gear by a summer gale. It doesn't take a Jonah to cause a knockdown. The wrong wave will manage that nicely if we give it a chance. But using the engine sensibly can save us asking for a volunteer we can throw to the fishes.